Again, Karen and I were in New York last week. Josiah, who is ill, and we should be praying for Josiah. So as we close this afternoon, we'll also pray for him. But he's at home recovering from some cold. But he gave a message last week, and it was basically an introduction to this whole topic that we're going to be looking at today. The idea that we need to be thankful. And so he talked about Thanksgiving Day that was coming forward, right? And he talked about the opportunity for us to serve God by thanking him all this time. But now we're going to look at it a little further. You know, I read about a young family this week that always spent Thanksgiving at grandma's house. But this year, the young mother wanted to try cooking Thanksgiving dinner all by herself. And before serving the dinner, though, she announced, "Look, I know this is the first turkey that I've ever cooked. If it isn't right, I don't want anybody to say a single word about it, however. We'll just get up from the table without comment, and we'll go out to eat for dinner." So she disappeared into the kitchen. When she came back to the dining room with her proudly with her turkey, she found her husband and son standing there around the table, already wearing their hats and coats. You know, the phrase, "don't forget to say thank you." I remember constantly getting that phrase given back to me as a child. For those of you who are parents, you probably say it quite often as well. Don't forget to say thank you. Don't forget to say thank you. But if we're honest with ourselves, even adults, yes, even Christians, need to be reminded of this as well. 2 days ago, again, all across America, people sat down at tables filled with food and expressed their thanks and gratitude for their good fortune, for the blessings in their lives, for the people who surrounded them. We did. For our family, we thank God this year for 2 new Lawsons, one by birth and one by marriage. And we pray for those who have given us opportunities to talk to them about God. I do have one problem with Thanksgiving, though. It's not the food, by the way. I love that part of Thanksgiving. But it's over way too soon. It's just 24 hours in a 365-day effort. There's danger, I believe, in identifying one day a year as Thanksgiving Day. It's the danger of implying that thanks is due on this day and this day alone, that we're not to thank God throughout the rest of the year. We face a similar danger, for example, when we designate the second Sunday in May as Mother's Day. Shouldn't children honor their mother more than just once a year? Or when we celebrate our marriages only on our anniversary, shouldn't spouses honor each other every day of the year? Mm-hmm. I'm reminded of a husband who remembered he hadn't honored his wife in quite a long time. So he came home from work one day with flowers and candy, gently kissed her and told her how absolutely lucky a man he was. She immediately started crying. And she told him, "The pastor's coming over for dinner, and you choose this night to come home drunk? It makes no sense." She was not prepared for those kind of accolades and honors. Similarly, shouldn't we be thankful to God more often than once a year on the fourth Thursday of each November? And then we seem to follow it up with 364 days of grumbling rather than remaining thankful. Reminds me of a story of about a grumpy old man who spent $2 on a lottery ticket. To his surprise, he actually won the lottery. So he goes to the local lottery office to claim his winnings. And the old man walks in. He says, "I want my $20 million. And the clerk says, "No, sir, it doesn't work that way. See, we give you $1 million today, and you get the rest spread out over the next 19 years. So the old man starts complaining. He demands to see the clerk's supervisor. Again, the supervisor claims he'd only get $1 million that day, and the rest over the next 19 years. Well, the old man was furious with both of them. He throws down his tickets and shouts, "Look, I want my money. If you're not going to give me my $20 million right now, I want my $2 back." Grumpiness. We have grumpy days. Most of us would need multiple hands to count all the many blessings we have in our life, right? Well, we may only need a hand or two to count the challenges and the frustrations in our lives. But all too often, it's these things that we tend to focus on. I know that I am blessed with not one but 2 families, a church family to serve and grow with, and a biological family I love beyond words. Add to that the fact that I live in a country that's known for its freedoms and its democracy. I know that there are literally millions of people around the world who would gladly swap places with me. And yet all too often, it's the challenges, it's the frustrations, it's the difficulties I face which command almost all of my focus, all of my time, and all of my attention. Here's an idea I came up with. Instead of one day of thanks followed by 364 days of grumbling, maybe we could just start a new holiday and call it Grumbling Day. And we could air all our complaints on that one day and then have 364 days of being thankful. But that isn't going to happen, is it? What do we follow Thanksgiving with? We have our one day of Thanksgiving, and we follow it with the next day called Black Friday, right? In fact, Black Friday is incorrectly named. It keeps getting earlier and earlier. This year, I think it came right after dinner on Thursday. Instead of Black Friday, we should call it Black Thursday night right after dinner. And we forget all of the things that we just thank God for and pursue other things. I think part of the problem comes from the fact that rather than appreciate what we have, we choose instead to focus on what we don't have. We look at our neighbor with the bigger house, the more expensive car, the newer phone, and we fail to appreciate that our house is big enough, that our car is good enough, and that their phone is going to be out of date in a couple weeks anyway. Around this time of year, there's a meme that starts circulating online. You know what a meme is, right? It's a picture with a text that is of special meaning. And it challenges us to look at our lot in life, to see the challenges or the blessings that underlie them. The list says something like this: I'm grateful for early wake-ups because it means I have children to love, for a house to clean because I have a safe place to live, for my huge heating bill because it means I'm also warm, for laundry to do because I have clothes to wear, for dishes to wash because it means I have food to eat, for crumbs under the table because we have family meals together, for grocery shopping to do because we have money to provide for our needs, for the taxes I pay because it means I am employed, for toilets to clean because it means we have indoor, not outdoor, plumbing, for lots of noise because there's lots of people in our lives, for endless questions about homework because our kids' brains are growing, and for being sore and tired in bed because it meant the day before I had been quite productive. Last weekend, while Karen and I were in New York City, Josiah talked up here about the Thanksgiving Day that was yet to come and why we need to be thankful. Today, I want to follow up on that and discuss Thanksgiving Day that just was and how to keep it going the rest of the year. Not just Thanksgiving, but Thanksgiving, living our lives in thankfulness to God. One of the more familiar and beloved Thanksgiving passages of Scripture is the story of the healing of the 10 lepers. It's found in Luke 17. See, on the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. And all along the way to Jerusalem were these small towns, little villages, if you will, that traveling caravans could stop in, rest, renew their supplies, and then continue with their journey. We don't know exactly which village Jesus entered into, but we do know who was waiting for him when he arrived. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourself to the priest." And as they went, they were made clean. And then one of them, a Samaritan, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and praised God with a loud voice. And he laid himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? The other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner, the Samaritan?" And then he said to the man, "Get up and go your way. Your faith has made you well." This is one of those Bible stories many of us have heard since we were little. And the obvious moral of the story is what? We should be more like the man who came back. We should thank Jesus for his mercy in our lives. And it's a fine lesson. It's a correct one. We should be thankful. But I think we miss something wonderful if we see only that lesson. This story, I believe, isn't only about being thankful. Rather, it's an invitation to something even more wonderful than that. The 10 lepers in the story did exactly what their culture at the time demanded. They kept their distance from Jesus. If you were diagnosed with leprosy, you were as good as dead. By law, you were forced to leave your family, leave your friends and job, and live only with others who have a similar skin disease. You were not allowed to have any contact with other people. Whenever you were walking down the street, you were supposed to yell out ahead of you, "Unclean, unclean," so that other unsuspecting people wouldn't have to come in contact with you. So it's no wonder that these 10 stood at a distance. Notice that the lepers actually did what Jesus told them to do. He said, "Go to see a priest," and that's exactly what they did. According to Jewish law, only a priest had the authority to determine if and when a person with leprosy was actually clean. If a priest found a person to be clean and healed, the priest's endorsement allowed that person to now rejoin their family and their friends once again. They were all clean. They could feel it and they could see it. Now all they had to do was present themselves to the priest, and then they would have been able to return to their spouses and their children, their friends, their loved ones. returning home after years being in isolation, they would have been thrilled. But by immediately going to the priest, all 10 showed they had quite a measure of faith in Jesus. If they didn't believe that Jesus had the power to heal, they would not have gone to go see a priest. Moreover, all 10 lepers obeyed Jesus. And sometimes we forget that when we read this story. In fact, all 10 not only had faith in Jesus, they obeyed Jesus. They obeyed the command of Jesus. Before we start criticizing the lepers for their selfishness, we should remember that all 10 are actually examples of faith and obedience. Yet as the story develops, we realize that the 9 unthankful lepers, while believing and obeying Jesus, missed something essential. They missed the chance to say thanks to Jesus directly. They missed the relationship that could come in the context of believing and obeying Jesus. Do you think these 9 men were ungrateful for their healing? All 10 of these men just experienced a literal life-altering miracle. Their lives were about to change for the good forever. So surely they were all grateful. It's one thing, though, to be grateful about something, but to be thankful about something means you have to take action on your gratefulness. It takes doing something about it. Just like this man was healed, the man paused and turned his grateful into thankful. But one person, one individual, turned from being grateful into being thankful. Being grateful is an emotion. Being grateful is a feeling, but being thankful is an action. Thankful is doing something about our gratefulness. What the other 9 missed out on was an intimate encounter with our Lord Jesus Christ. The chance to fall at Jesus' feet and thank him directly. The chance to know and interact with our Lord on a very intimate and personal level. Can you see yourself in the 9 lepers who didn't return? Maybe just a little bit. I can see myself here. Like the 9, I have put my faith in Jesus. I have believed in him, and I totally want to obey him. Faith and obedience, these are central to my Christian faith. And surely they should be. But what I miss sometimes, I can miss the intimate relationship with Jesus, a relationship that comes from falling at his very feet in gratitude for the blessings he's given me in my life. I can be so eager to charge on to the next act of obedience that I can forget about taking time just to be with Jesus. And when this happens, I miss out on one of the greatest joys that life can offer. No doubt the story of the leper who came back does remind us to be thankful for God's blessings in our lives. There's many blessings in our lives, but this story also reminds us that Christian life is more than accepting Jesus as your Savior and then obeying him, though these are absolutely essential, of course. Besides faith and obedience, Jesus invites us into an intimate relationship with him. Saying thank you is more than something we should do because it's polite. It's the right thing to do. It's the polite thing to do. Thanksgiving opens up our heart to know Jesus more truly and to know him more personally. When I take time to stop and think about what God has done for me, I find my heart softening to all the tough things that are going on around me. I find my love for him is growing. I find my desire to be with him is increasing. Gratitude, when I let it seep into my heart, leads to more intimacy with Jesus Christ. So on Thanksgiving Day, let us indeed be thankful for all the blessings we received. But may we also offer the Lord every day of the year the thanks he deserves from us. Let's allow our thanks to draw us near to the heart of God. Isn't that the goal of our hearts, should be to draw near to his heart? May our thanks lead us into praise. May it draw us into adoration. May it bring us into profound worship of God the Creator. May every single day be a time for you and I not only to say thank you to God, but also to enjoy his presence, even as he enjoys ours. May our gratitude fill us once again with a love for God. May we enter into more than a single day of thanksgiving, but into a life of constant thanksgiving. So what does it mean to move beyond a 24-hour thanksgiving and into a 24/7, 365 thanksgiving? I think we can discover some keys to thanksgiving in our last few minutes together this morning as we look at Psalm 100. You turn to it in your Bibles, you can watch it on the slides here. Psalm 100 is just 5 short verses. It's an easy chapter to have to take in, right? And these are the verses, Psalm 100. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting. And his faithfulness is to all generations. Amen?
Amen.
I see a few things here that I'd like to point out about giving that we need to remember as we give thanks. First is that giving thanks is all about excitement. It says, shout to the joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Folks, we should get excited about what God is doing in our lives. When we look at what we could be facing versus what we are facing, what blessings he has given us, we should be shouting those. But maybe you said, well, God hasn't been doing anything in my life. And to that I would say, you just need to open up your eyes and look around you. He gave you the strength to get out of bed this morning. He gave you the clothes that you have. He gave you the transportation to get you here this morning. Even if you came in a friend's car, he provided you a friend that you could ride with. He gave you the beat of your heart. He gave you the breath that's in your lungs. All good gifts have come from him. Isn't that enough to shout to the Lord joyfully? He is the creator. He is the sustainer. He has his eyes on the sparrow, the Bible says, and he knows when one of them falls to the ground, and he also knows the exact number of hairs on our head. I have noticed over time I'm losing some of those, but he knows exactly how many I have left on my head. So shout to the Lord, for he is Lord, for he is God, for he is mighty, for he is magnificent. Shout to the Lord, all the earth. Second thing it says, giving thanks is about serving. It says, serve the Lord with gladness. The Bible proclaims that one of God's deepest desires is to have his people to serve him. Deuteronomy 10:12 says, and now Israel, what does the Lord God require of you? He requires only that you fear the Lord your God, live in a way that pleases him, and love him and serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. But notice God wants more than just us serving him. He wants us to serve him with what? With gladness. We should consider it an honor and privilege to serve him. We should count it as a joy to be able to serve our Lord. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. To be in his presence should be an honor and a thrill. So shouldn't we serve him, not just happenstance, but serve him with gladness? Thirdly, giving thanks is about coming before God. It says, come before him with joyful singing. The psalmist here tells us to come. We're to enter into his presence with a song of joy in our hearts. Sing to the Lord a new song. Tell him how thankful you are for all the blessings that he has brought to you. God has given us great blessings. Our response should be coming before him with joyful singing, thanking him for all that he has done. Note that coming before him doesn't mean you have to leave your physical location. Leave where you are and come to the Lord. It just means leaving behind your self-sufficiency and pride. Come means making God, God. And acknowledging that you are dependent, totally dependent on him for all the good things that come your way. James said as much in James 1, verse 17, whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the light in the heavens. Fourthly, we see that giving thanks is about getting to know God. Knowing the Lord himself is God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Who or what we serve shows best where our priorities are. I've heard it said, if we are created, then he is the creator. If we're sheep, then he is our shepherd. If we enter his courts, he is our king. And if we serve him, he is our Lord. He is our master. In this verse, we're told to know two things. Know one, that God made us. Number two, that we are his possessions. This may be hard for some of us to hear, but you are not, I am not, a self-made person. We all have control of our lives to a certain extent, but it's God who is ultimately in control. Amen? We serve a sovereign God. He's in control of everything. God knew you before you were formed in the womb. He knew who your family would be. He knew what color eyes you would have. He knew how tall you would become, what gender you are. He knew before you were even formed in the womb. God knew us. Psalm 139 is a very famous chapter for talking about that very thing. Verse 13, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Science didn't do it. I'm sorry, it's sad to say, but evolution didn't do it. God knit us together in our mother's womb. And if he made us, then we are his possession. We are his people. We're the sheep of the good shepherd. We belong to him. We must know this, that there is no place for self-sufficiency or pride when we come before God with our thanksgiving. Fifthly, giving thanks is about entering his gates. It says, enter his gates and with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. When we give true thanksgiving, we are in the very presence of God. He is the object of our worship, and he should be the object of our thanks. Everything we are and everything we possess is because God is who God is. When we understand this, we can clearly and totally say thank you to God. Giving thanks is about sacrifice. It says give thanks to him. But giving God thanks is an act of sacrifice. You might say, well, wait a minute. Jesus did away with all the sacrifice stuff on the cross. We don't have to sacrifice anything. But I would return back to you and say that worship, you cannot worship God without sacrificing for God. What he wants most of all is our attention, our time, our gifts, our talents, our resources, so that he can use them for his glory. The Bible says in Romans 12:1, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. And lastly, giving thanks is about blessing the Lord. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness is to all generations. Here's the truth about thanksgiving. It's not about us. It's all about God. You look down through Psalm 100. What do you find? In verse 1, you find the name of the Lord who's over all of the earth. You look in verse 2, you'll find the name of the Lord who wants us to rejoice with him. In verse 3, you'll find the name of the Lord who's our creator and our sustainer. In verse 4, you'll find his castle, his home, with the doors opened wide for us. In verse 5, you'll find his name that is good and kind, and he is faithful to all generations. Doesn't it seem reasonable that we should end the psalm blessing his holy name? This truth is one of the reasons why we come to church. It's one of the reasons why I love Maranatha, why I love coming to church on Saturday morning. It's a time in our busy weekly schedule where we slow down and we come together, and through prayer and song and giving and fellowship and preaching of God's word, we can turn our grateful into our thankful. Today we are 352 days away from next Thanksgiving. If you want to write that down in case you might forget. 362 days from today. You might say that's wrong, but I figured in the leap year. See, I knew what I was doing. But if we can be inspired by this one-day holiday to appreciate all that God has given us, to give thanks for what we have, and to help those less fortunate than ourselves, then we can take the spirit of Thanksgiving and infuse it throughout the entire balance of our year. We can turn our grateful into our thankful. And this will be surely something that will be good for us, good for our community, and good for our world as well. Let us pray.